Man, y'all got some good music here, I'll tell you that. You're blessed, I'm telling you. It's not like that everywhere. Amen. I have been looking forward to seeing you, I'll tell you that. And you know he's here, don't you? He's here. Very near and very dear. And the words that he just keeps putting on my heart is, church, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen. God's up to something real good. Real good. I invite your attention to the book of Jeremiah. Nothing like God talking to you. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Another vessel it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build it and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Look again in verse 1 and notice the word there. He said to go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. You know, I used to handle bees, and every bee has its own little hive that it goes to. They won't go to another hive. They go to their hive. And God has a special place for each one of us to be, a special place where he wants to talk to us. And if you go to the place that God wants you to go to, he'll talk to you. He said, there I will cause you to hear my words. Now, there may be a physical place, but there also may be a spiritual place in your life that you have to be in order to hear what God has to say to you. I want to ask you the question this morning. Are you there? Are you there? Are you at the place to where you can hear God when he speaks to you? In verse 3, he said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now, what did Jeremiah see when he went down to the potter's house? Well, he sees a potter, he sees some clay, and he sees a wheel that he puts the clay on, and he works on that wheel, and as he's watching it, God starts talking to him, and he starts to pick up on what God's saying to him, because God starts explaining to him, look, I'm the potter, you're the clay, and the wheel are life circumstances. And he's saying, I can take you and use the wheel of life circumstances to shape you into what I want you to be. And as he's watching this, he's beginning to see that God is at work all around him in life circumstances. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens is good, but what it means is that God is working in every situation for our good. That's what's going on down there. And as he thinks about that, you know, God's, look, you got things you're going through in your life right now individually. You got things you're going through collectively as a church right now, you know. And it, regardless of what's going on, whether it's personally or the church or our country or whatever, God is at work in all this. He is. He's at work and he's doing what is good. What God is, he's working to do good and he's working to accomplish his purpose. This is a beautiful church with a lot of sweet people in it. And God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you individually and he has a purpose for you collectively. He does. And he is at work right now. So whatever you're going through, know that God is up to good. He's up to good right now. Hey, it hurts when you change churches or change ministers. It hurts on both ends of the line. But I want to tell you something. The good Lord is up to good now. He's up to good. God's not trying to mess people up. He loves us, and he's up to good. And we just have to listen real close to what he's saying. Now, in verse 4, it says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it." So what is the potter's purpose down there? It is to do what is good to the potter. Now, who's the potter? God's the potter. So what God's up to is to do what is good to him. Amen? Now, this is where the problem comes in. Because sometimes we think we know better than God. We won't say it, but by the way we act, we think we know better than God, so we're going to do it this way. But, beloved, it doesn't work like that, does it? It won't work that way. We have to do things God's way, do his will, and then it works. It works when we do things God's way. And so we want to be sure that we do God's will in what's going on down there. There's a beautiful verse, Ephesians chapter 2:10, that says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now this word workmanship comes from a Greek word that means poem. And a poem is a beautiful expression of what man feels in his heart. And see, God is up to work to do something beautiful that God feels in his heart. The reason there's a Woodland Baptist Church is because God has beautiful feelings that he wants to express through you and through this church. I'm telling you that now. He has beautiful feelings. If you could see in God's heart, you'd see something wonderful that God is up to right now and what he's wanting to do down there. And we are his workmanship. And it says that God hath before ordained. God knew what he was going to do with you before you were even born. Do you understand? See, God knows everything. He doesn't just know a little bit. He knows everything. Everything. And he knows everything before it happens. Before you were born, he knew you were going to be born. He knew what he was going to, he knew the ones that were going to get to sing and the ones that were going to get to build or whatever it was, you see. He knows all that stuff. He knows that he's the potter and he's the one who makes the clay into what it's going to be, you see. And so God is at work. You know, have any of you ever been to Bellingrath Gardens out from Mobile down there? You have? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Y'all, that is one fine place to go. You know, we used to take our senior citizens down there on trips and day trips and just have fun with them down there. It's such a beautiful place. It's 905 acres of some of the most beautifully landscaped property in the world. And in the spring, there are 250,000 azaleas that bloom in that place. Now, can you imagine? That's heavenly there, you know. And the ones who created Bellingrath Gardens was a Christian couple named Walter and Bessie Bellingrath. Some of you know about them, about their lives. And there are things that I remember from being down there at different times. And one of the things that I remember was what Walter wrote his mama. One day, he said, "By God's help, I'm going to make the world better and brighter by my being here." Who put that desire in his heart to make the world a better place? God put that good desire in. Everything good comes from God, y'all. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Amen. The Bible says so. Amen. One day he wrote this to his wife. He said, "I shall always think of you wandering through a lovely garden like that which you fashioned with your own hands, where flowers never fade and no cold wind of sorrow blights our hopes and plans. And on your face, the peace of one whose whole life through walked with God." See, this couple walked with God, and the world is a better place because they were here and walked with God. Now, beloved, listen to me carefully. God's plans for your life are to use you individually and to this church to make the world a better place. To be a better place because you lived, and when it's over with, it's going to be to where you can look back and say, honestly in your heart, I believe by God's grace the world is a better place because I did live and serve the good Lord here. A better place. And that's what he's up to with our lives individually and collectively. God, now listen, the best thing for you and for me to do is to not try to just go through making whatever I want to do with my life. I'm the clay. I need to yield my life to the potter and let the good Lord do what he wants to do with me, whatever that is, you know. We yield to the potter and we let him make us. And what, that's the best thing. That way, you don't know the plans that God has for your life. And see, God can reveal them to you. Just like right now, one of these days, you're going to have a wonderful pastor in here. And you're going to be so happy. You had a good pastor. But you got a wonderful pastor coming and his family. And they're going to be very special to you and you're going to love them very much. And they're going to love you very much. It takes time for God to work his plan, but it's coming, folks. And you have to just listen to the good Lord, stay in tune, amen, and then just let him lead us, lead you into what he has for you to do regarding this church here. Now, in verse 4 it says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again." Now, what's the potter was working with the clay, and when he hit this tough spot in there, he'd pinch that tough spot out, and he'd pound it back. He's trying to get all the rough places out of the thing that he's making down there, and that's what's happening as he watches the potter work down there. And see, God does the same thing with you and me. We have rough spots in our lives. We have places in our lives where we don't obey God like we should at times. And God sees those in our lives, and he loves us, and he wants to help us. So he'll work on us to get those tough spots out of our lives. He'll work on us to where we will obey him in different areas of our lives that we're not obeying him like we need to obey him. And so he does that, and that's what he's doing down there. And he's doing the same thing with Israel, see. He's working on Israel to get the tough spots out so that he can make them the beautiful people that he wants them to be down there. Now, we have to remember that God doesn't always give us a chance to just to get right with him and everything. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says in Genesis 6:3, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man." Now, what that tells me is that, well, when he does speak to me, I do need to listen to him. Because he's not going to always give you a chance to straighten up. He won't do that. He won't do that with any of us. 1 John 5:16 says, "There is a sin unto death, and I do not say that he shall pray for it." In other words, you can cross a line with God that he's not going to give you a chance again, you see. He'll even take Christians home prematurely of what they could have been because they wouldn't listen to them. And he said down there, when they do that, "There is a sin unto death, and I do not say this, you'll pray for it." So once again, when God talks to us about something, we need to listen to the good Lord and do what he tells us, amen? And it'll work that way, and it'll turn out good that way. Now, sometimes it gets hard in life. I tell you what, things in the U.S. right now, to me, are hard right now. I mean, we're going through a tough time in our country. To me, we are. And in our own lives, sometimes God gets a hold of us and lets things happen to us that are just flat hard to deal with. and hard to go through there. But I have a scripture of encouragement. James chapter 1, verse 2. But my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or endurance. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, God's at work to bless you. He's at work to bless you. And sometimes He's going to let some tough things happen, and sometimes He's not going to fix them real fast. Sometimes it's going to take some time to get through what God's working on, you see. But the thing we need to remember there is to count it all joy, because what God's up to, He's building your endurance to where you'll hang in there with faith, so that you'll hang in there with Him to the point that now He's able to bless you. See, now you're going to have some folks that are going to want a pastor next week. But what if God's not ready to send him in here next week? You see what I'm saying? What if God has something else He wants to do before He gets here? That's going to matter. Matter big time in your life. Well, we need to listen to the good Lord, because endurance, hanging in there with faith, honors God, and God honors faith, folks. And there are some blessings that you don't get unless you're willing to hang in there and pay the price to receive the blessing that God has for you. God doesn't just throw His blessings out without us ever doing anything, you see. And the Bible teaches that we're supposed to be long-suffering and hang in there with faith in order to have what He's got for us. And it says so you'll lack nothing. Sometimes when He makes you wait a while, it's because He's trying to bless you with all He's got for you. He's got so many blessings He has for you. I mean, it's all kind of blessings. So when the pressure's on and times are tough, and they are tough sometimes, but when the pressure is on, you've got to have the endurance to hang in there with faith in God. Did you hear that? You got to be tough now. You got to be a strong Christian, not a baby Christian, a strong Christian. You got to hang in there with faith in God and trust Him. I'm going to honor God with faith through this, and I'm going to trust God to take care of this good. Glory to God. I know He's up to blessing me, and I'm trusting Him to do it. You see what I'm saying? We're not a victim. We're a victor. Amen? We're not a victim, a helpless, hopeless victim. We are victors. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Jesus raises conquerors. Amen? Christians are conquerors. We're overcomers. And sometimes He'll give you a tough mountain to climb to overcome to get the blessing He's got for you. Amen? So we got to hang in there during the tough times with faith in God, because that honors God. See, when you honor Him when you trust Him when it's tough. You honor Him. Right now it's tough waiting on the next guy to come in here. It's tough. We just, by nature, we want it to happen now. But we got to hang in there with faith in God, trust Him, and then receive what God has for us, the blessing that He has for us. That's very important down there. I got a little story that I heard that I like to tell. It's kind of funny in a way, but helps me. And I've thought about it a bunch of times in my life. Some of you have heard it before, but I'm going to tell it again. Amen. Years ago, the cod fishermen were trying to get their fish to market, and they were having a problem. They'd catch all these fish, and if they put them on the boat and sent them to the market dead, they didn't have any taste to them. It just didn't taste. They didn't taste right. So then they tried to send them to the market, you know, alive. But by the time they got there, they were just soft and mushy. It wasn't right. Somebody came up with the idea of putting a catfish down in the tank with the live fish. The catfish is the natural enemy of the cod. And so the whole time the boat was taking the fish to the market, the catfish was chasing the codfish all throughout the tank. And you know what they found out? By the time they got to the market, the fish were alive and fresh, well, healthy, tastes good, you see? Now, what's the point of that? Sometimes, folks, God's going to drop a catfish in your tank. Amen? You hear me? Now, you're going to remember this story. Sometimes He's going to allow and harassing problem into your life something that you just wish, dear God, I wish you would stop this. I wish you'd take this away. I just can't stand this. I don't like this. God, get it out of my life. We do that, you know. But you know, sometimes God does allow certain problems in our lives because he works through those to bless us and make it better. He does do that. Paul found that out. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, Paul said, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Well, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." God uses tormenting problems to make us stronger. I guarantee you, if you get in there with a knockdown, drag out with the old devil, and God whips him through you, when it's all over with, you're going to be a stronger Christian. I'm going to tell it. When I was growing up, my next door neighbor was he trained dogs and stuff to hunt and things like that. And we had this little puppy, and it was a little squirrel dog, and he took that dog out for the first time. He wounded a squirrel. The squirrel hit the ground, and he sicked that dog on that squirrel. Well, he never fought a squirrel before. He jumped in there, and that squirrel ate him up, you know. And he, you know, run off. But the next time he took that squirrel dog hunting and he wounded a squirrel and a squirrel hit the ground, guess who won that one? The dog did. Our little dog Butch did. You see what I'm saying? And he was a tough little old dog after that. And look, God's going to let you go through some tough things and teach you how to have power in Jesus' name and how to overcome things with faith in Jesus. He's going to allow stuff like that to happen to make you stronger, and you need that strength. Let me tell you what, our kids are going to need the strength of the good Lord in the days they grow up in. Amen? One of these days, we're going to be off this, and we're going to take the knowledge that God has given us in Jesus' name, how to operate in spiritual warfare, and the power in Jesus' name that he's given us to operate. And beloved, but they got to learn that too. They got to learn that. They got to learn how to be strong, because the world they're going to face, they're going to need to be strong in Jesus. I'm telling you straight up. And see, God wants to work in our lives to help us to be strong, and one of the ways he does it, he'll drop a catfish in your tank. He'll give you something to deal with that was tough to deal with, but after you went through that and learned how to be strong in the Lord, you are stronger, more blessed Christian after that. God's up to stuff like that. Well, one day there was this man, and he went to this potter's, and he was watching this potter make stuff, and while he was watching it, he saw him beating on the clay and all that and shaping out of it. And when he found a rough spot, he'd pinch it out and then he'd beat it some more. And then finally he'd get it shaped like what he wanted it to be. He'd put it on this little paddle thing and he would stick it in the fire. And then he would let the fire work on the pot for a little while, harden it and so forth. He'd pull it out and he'd work on a little more if it needed it. And he'd stick it back into the fire. And the guy watching the potter work said, "Well, how do you know when it's done? How can you tell when it's done?" He said, "Well, when I stick it in the fire and pull it out and thump it and it sings, I know it's done," you see. It makes that certain sound that it makes when it's finished, you see. Now, beloved, I'll tell you a little secret. Everybody in this room has been through some hard times and are going to go through some more. But one of the things that helps us to make it through these tough times, some of them are painful times, is that we praise the good Lord while we're going through those tough times. We may have tears running down our face, but we're going to thank God and praise God for what he's going to do in Jesus' name and how he's going to take care of this. I'm going to trust God to take care of this too. God gave me a word coming back from the Smokies one time, and I told Meyer to write it down. This was years ago. I said, I'm going to trust God to take care of this too. That was a word God gave me. And I have used that hundreds of times since then. I'll be in a situation, and I'm dealing with something, and I'll just say, well, I'm going to trust God to take care of this too. Amen. And I'd have peace. I wouldn't be all about it because I did trust God to take care of it. That's a little thing y'all remember. It'll help you in your life down there. Trust God. The Bible says in 1 John 5:16, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. See, when you have confidence in God, when you're going through something, you're releasing faith in God. You see? And peace and joy come in believing, Romans 15:13. And so it's very important when you're going through your, I'm going to trust God to take care of this. Amen. And I thank you, Jesus. I don't understand. Here's a little saying I use. When I can't understand with my head, I'm going to trust Him with my heart. Amen. When I can't understand, there's so much I can't understand, but the Bible says to trust in the good Lord with all your heart. Amen. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Amen. There's a lot of stuff I can't understand why this is happening or that or whatever it is. But I've learned to trust the good Lord. Trust the good Lord with your heart. With your heart. Whether you understand with your head or not, trust Him with your heart down there. Well, calf rope. Here we go. Have you got a problem you're dealing with? Something that's bugging you or bugging your family? Is it harassing you? I mean, it's something you just wish God would just get rid of it. You see what I'm saying? Have you got a problem you're dealing with? Well, let me ask you something. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You going to worry yourself sick about it? You got a catfish in your tank. What are you going to do about it? I tell you what you want to do about it, beloved. You want to honor God. You know, when you give honor to God, that praise to God goes on forever. It never stops. When you bring Him glory, God will honor that in such a way that that glory will go on to praise God forever. So when you're going through your tough time, what do you want to do? You want to make up your mind, look, this hurts. And I'm having a tough time dealing with it. But by the grace of God, I'm going to trust God to take care of this thing. I'm going to honor God no matter how long it takes to get through this thing. I'm going to praise God and glory to God. I'm going to bring glory to God through this. If it kills me, I am going to bring glory to God through this. I want to bring glory to God. I'm going to trust Him. I don't care. I'm going to trust Him in His time and in His way to take care of it. Now, that is the mark of the maturity of a Christian. When you trust God to take care of things in His time and in His way. Amen? That's the difference between a strong and a weak Christian. A strong Christian will trust God to take care of things in His time and in His way. Amen? Amen. And so that's what you want to do. That's what I want to do. And I don't always get it right. I have to go back and, God forgive me, I didn't trust you like I needed to on that one. I'm going to trust God to take care of it in His time and in His way. Now, I've been talking to the Christians this morning. You know that. Hey, look, this is the time we need to talk with each other. But there may be somebody here this morning that hasn't come to know Jesus yet. I've been from one side of this world to the other telling people about Jesus over 50 years. I'm going to tell you something. You need Jesus if you don't have Him. Our country is hurting right now because Jesus is not being honored as Lord. That's the problem. Years ago, people trusted Him more and things were better. People got along better. There was more love because there's more Jesus as Lord in our country. And beloved, right now you're not going to have the happiness and joy and full life that you could have unless you get Jesus as the Lord of your life, the boss, number one. And so every week we tell people about Jesus, how he died and was buried and rose again so that our sins could be taken away and we could be given new life when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And you may have been to church all your life, but you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you need to, if you don't have Jesus, you need him. I would ask you to just bow right where you are, bow your head. And we're going to have a little prayer here in just a minute. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you thank him for saving you, and you pray for those that don't know the good Lord. If you're having a hard time dealing with a problem right now, you need to ask the good Lord to help you to trust him, to hang in there and trust him while you deal with it. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you right now, where you are, to pray, "Dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart and save me, Jesus. I agree to accept and obey you, Jesus, as the Lord of my life. I put my trust in you to take away my sins and to give me life with you forever. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you, dear Jesus, for coming into my life and saving me." Amen. I would ask that you'd stand right now. And Brad, if you'd just stand down front, brother. If you want to come and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. We want you to come and let us pray with you and help you. If you want to come to this altar, these steps can be an altar. If you want to come and pray about something, maybe you want to pray for your new staff or whatever it is, or pray for our country, whatever. If God leads you and wants you to do that, then you come here. If he wants you to pray where you are, you pray there. Amen. But I'm going to ask that our musicians would just play some music softly here. They all go ahead. I'm not going to ask you to sing. I want you praying. And if you need to come, you come. Come down here and say, I'm ready to become a Christian. I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you so much. Would you be seated? Please be seated. Brother Brad, if you'd come up, I don't know how y'all close out, but you got it. Enjoyed it, y'all. Good to be with you.